Did Martin Luther's political writings lead to the freedom of conscience, the separation of church and state, and German totalitarianism? Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Divine Kingdom, Holy Order by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther.
Across the continent, there are places where too often fear prevails. From Mali to Mogadishu, senseless terrorism all too often perverts the meaning of Islam, one of the world's great religions.
It's not me who's creating the slippery slope. Those who are rejecting a male-female requirement to marriage are providing all the grease for that slippery slope.
The church needs men with hair on their chest.
Our greatest enemy is not our inability to keep the Ten Commandments or our inability of a good moral life. God is not a moralist.
Indiana truck drivers, lobbyists, etc.
This is a question that comes up a lot. Probably as often as we discuss baptism here on Issues, etc., the objection is raised that we're talking, first people are shocked that we're talking about water baptism. They've perhaps never even heard that that regular old water baptism in Holy Scripture is said to do miraculous things like crucify and bury with Christ, raised with Christ, clothed with Christ, put Christ on someone, save, says St. Peter. And so they're shocked that we're talking about water in the first place. And then they ask the question, water can't do that. Are you saying that water does that? And, you know, part of the answer to that question is yes, when joined with God's word, which is what we're talking about when we're talking about baptism. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. David Scare joins us for the first half hour here of the second hour. We're going to talk about baptism and water in particular. Elliot Miller will join us a little bit later. A San Diego judge has ruled that a elementary school can teach yoga as exercise. It is not violating any kind of tenet against teaching religion. Can we separate the religion of yoga in its kind of pure Eastern ancient form from the exercise of yoga? Elliot Miller of the Christian Research Journal will be our guest in about a half hour. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. David Scare is chairman and professor of systematic theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series titled Baptism, and he's also written an article in the recent For the Life of the World magazine titled Baptism is Not Simple Water Only. Dr. Scare, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's good to be here.
Now, I understand you've just come from swimming in a lake. Is that correct?
Yeah, we had a little difficulty and we've had a lot of rain up here. Speaking about water baptism, we've had about 10 inches in the last week or so. And I like to go out in the middle of the lake and just swim around.
You take some risk doing that. I mean, anybody does, regardless of how good a sinner you are. But you have written that water is life. Water also can be deadly. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think my thoughts on that have evolved quite a bit. Luther saw the deathly aspect of water, drowning, that in baptism our sins are drowned. And I think he missed something by, or shall we say, it could have been expanded to go to creation, because the creation was called into existence out of water. And in thinking about this in ordinary things in life, that water is both life and death. And to give you, to be quite specific, I mean, that is a very well-known image of somebody walking across the desert and without water dies. In fact, I've known a teacher who wanted to do some research and parked his car by the side of the road and went into the desert and wasn't found again. And the well-known Bishop James Pike in the 1960s, went looking for God in the Judean desert, and he disappeared. But at the same time, water is absolutely destructive. Anybody who has been on the... One of my favorite songs is the Edmund Fitzgerald, the story about a freighter on Lake Superior that simply goes under. It simply goes under. A wave comes and it disappears. But you don't even need that. I think everyone who's been a parent has a correct fear of their infants, their children, climbing into a wading pool and dying. In fact, I know of a case where a child, maybe about 18 months, crawled out of one house, crawled across the backyard, and went into a fish pond, couldn't have been more than a few inches deep, and drowned. So water has a double role. It's the source of life, and it is the end of life.
Now, so it sounds like what you're saying is there is absolutely no coincidence or accident in the fact that our Lord chose in Christian baptism to employ water.
In fact, it's not just, I would even go so far as that really he had no other choice, because the physical life, which comes out of water, is then paralleled or continued in the spiritual life that comes out of water. And in the scriptures where this happens in a magnificent way is when Peter compares baptism to the Noahic flood. And if you know, we all know the story of the flood. Noah builds an ark and the ship sails. And you would expect the ark sails, and you would expect Peter, the divine author, to say, "Well, you see, that proves it. Water destroys." But then Peter goes on to say, "So you see that water, that baptism now saves us." So you have that double-edged. I'd like to use the word double-edged sword. Baptism is a double-edged sword. It makes alive and it destroys.
Let's back up and talk about something you mentioned just a moment ago, and that is water in creation. The creation is brought forth out of the depths of water. It's mentioned there about separating the land from the sea, but also the Spirit hovering over the face of the deep, another reference to the water. This watery creation, does it intentionally prefigure new birth in baptism?
Well, you're getting into the does it intentionally? Well, God knows all things, so he knows what he's going to do. I wouldn't say that it was on God's mind that he would call the creation out of water so he could bring the new creation out of water. The new creation is based upon that sin would take place. I wouldn't want to say that God acts in regard to sin. I would look at it the other way around, that God operates within his own choices. And rather than discontinuing his creation, which comes out of water, he continues his creation out of water in a situation in which mankind has fallen into sin and away from him. And the Psalms speak about how he created the world on the waters. That is a kind of a meaning for me right here, because as I come up to the place... water is coming out of the ground all over the place. And the thought that crossed my mind, everything rests on water. Yeah, go deep enough in any place in the world and you'll come upon water. And it is amazing that God takes the most the commodity, which is most readily available, and uses it to restore life again, at least restore life in Jesus Christ.
So are you saying, coming back to something you mentioned just a minute ago as well, the flood, that it is not God's ultimate intention to destroy in the flood by water, but to, as you said, to continue his act of creation in the flood through water?
Well, that's absolutely right. In fact, is the purpose of the flood, and you said that very well. First the water destroys, but then out of the flood comes another creation. in which mankind goes on. I'm not so sure that Christians make enough out of the symbolism of water. At least we've had a child who gets down by the ocean. You take the child, your eyes off the child, it slips under the water, and then the kid is grasping for life. And in some churches, and some Lutheran churches, but also in Catholic churches, Catholics seem to have a handle on this better than we do. But I've noticed that in the larger Catholic churches and some the cathedrals, they have built baptismal fonts with flowing water. The first time I saw this was in a church at which the Reverend Mr. Harold Sankbile was the pastor, and that the water keeps flowing through the baptismal font to indicate the river. It symbolizes the river. It symbolizes two things. It symbolizes the Red Sea, through which the Jews, the Israelites, became God's people, and it symbolizes at the same time the Red Sea. Not the Red Sea, excuse me, the Jordan River. And in the Jewish, in the Psalms, these two bodies of water emerge into one. You go through the sea into the promised land. And this has always been a question of the New Testament baptism. Of what, it is John the Baptist who really invents Christian baptism. Or he's the first one to do it. And you have to ask, what was that all about? Why did he do it? Was it some kind of cleansing ritual? Was it a continuation of a Jewish cleansing ritual? Because the Jews had those rituals before they could do certain things. Or was it really a repetition of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea and crossing the River Jordan into the Promised Land? And in passing through the Red Sea and crossing the River Jordan, they were in the midst of death. When you go into the water, you are in the midst of death. A number of years ago, I'm not a boats person, but I was asked to take a canoe across the lake here in early November, and a wind came up, and I realized that the person on the water is at the mercy of nature. And the Israelites passing through the Red Sea, they're at the mercy of the water. The water can come in and destroy them. And the floods, I mean, every flood is a reminder and a recapitulation of the destruction that water can do. And so you have to ask yourself, well, what is the better description of hell and the wrath of God and destruction? Is it fire or water? Well, from what we see that Sandy did on the East Coast and Katrina, from the destruction by water, there is little possibility of escape. And baptism, which is God's water, is that which it completely destroys us as sinners. It removes the sin. It takes it away from us. And we come out new creatures.
Dr. David Scares, our guest, we'll take a break here. We're talking about baptism and God's use of water in baptism on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. When we come back, we will talk more about God's use of water in baptism. Stay tuned.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, Issues, etc. Listen to What You Want, When You Want at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. David Scare is our guest, chairman and professor of systematic theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're talking about baptism and God's use of water in baptism. A little bit later, Elliot Miller will join us. We'll talk about San Diego's judge ruling in favor of a public elementary school teaching yoga. Dr. Scare, we've talked about kind of the destructive and the life-giving power of water, even as we find it in nature, then as we find it in God's use in the Old Testament, these various ways, the creation and the flood you've talked about. Let's talk about that basic question that people ask, which is, in water baptism, how is it that water does what the Bible says water does in Christian baptism?
I think we can begin with creation and saying that what God did with water, he did by his spoken word. And the water, now when we speak about the word, we should be specific and say that it's not simply a spoken word, but actually the person of Christ who is involved in the water. And that in the water is the Holy Trinity. Luther said this in Latin, in baptismo vox trinitatis. In baptism, the voice of the Holy Trinity speaks. The entire triune God surrounds the water. The God who created the water now is with the water in order to bring about salvation. And it's not a way in which we show obedience to Christ or to God. It is a way in which God comes to us. And God is very comfortable in coming to us in his created means. God is not uncomfortable. He is never at an arm's length. He's never distant looking at us. He is involved in the water, he himself. And, the hymn, the church is one foundation. It says in that well-known hymn, which nearly all Christians know, that the church is created by water. That is the church's only hope. So we don't say that baptism is something in addition to Christ. This is not the issue. You know, you say, well, if you say that baptism does all these things, how can you still have faith in Jesus Christ and say that he does all these things? Aren't you, in fact, by attributing these great things to baptism, giving Jesus a diminished role? It's just the opposite. Is that Jesus chooses to come this way to us And he does come with us because he's most comfortable in doing this. In fact, he submitted himself to what you've been referring to in this last half hour, to water baptism. He did. And, you know, baptism can be done by any form at all. It can be done by the pouring of water, or it can be done by the immersion. Now, when we think of immersion, we think of Baptist churches, which very frequently have a huge tank up in the front in which someone is taken. But we should look at it this way, too, and that is that in the Orthodox Church, which baptizes infants, they also have submersion. And the immersion does carry a particular meaning of death. I like to swim, and I'm very aware of people who are afraid of swimming. They just are absolutely terrified. And the reason is quite simple. They're afraid they'll put their head under the water. They won't come out. They'll stop breathing. And there is a death, a real death that is involved in baptism. I mean, this is very strong in Luther's theology. It's certainly strong in St. Paul's theology. By baptism, we are buried into Christ's death. Now, that has to be very strong to actually put you in the tomb with Jesus. And who's ever buried with Jesus is also raised by God to a new life in Jesus.
Another objection that people often raise when exposed sometimes for the first time to a biblical view of water baptism is that it's kind of beneath God's dignity to fuss around with material things, much less something as elemental to creation as water. If he wanted to save me, he'd just save me. He wouldn't have to use some material, some physical means. What's your response?
Well, the question is that we simply don't believe in God. We believe in God the Creator. And God the Creator accompanies his creation. This is a question whether God would have had to create. Well, he created not because it was foreign or alien or strange to his existence, but it was an expression of his love. So when he uses created means to come to us, this is not strange to him at all. In this discussion, we spoke about water baptism. You know, baptism itself means to use water. Baptizo means to use water. So when we say we believe in water baptism, that's kind of redundant. In fact, there is no other kind of baptism besides one with water. Now the word can be used in different kinds of ways, but it always carries the meaning of complete immersion. We common among us is that's a baptism of fire, completely surrounded by fire. Baptism means we're completely surrounded by God. And in the Lutheran Church, and some of the listeners are Lutheran, of course, and that is there's a tendency to put a higher value on the sacrament of the Holy Communion. Well, actually, it should be the reverse. 95% of our emphasis should be on baptism, and the other 5% on the Lord's Supper. Because baptism is the foundation. That is the beginning. And baptism is not something which happens only once in our life. You know, we Lutherans agree with Catholics on a lot of points. And we do agree on baptism, but very strange. We have this one major difference. Catholics see baptism as the sacrament that forgives sins that have already been committed. Lutherans see baptism as the sacrament which embraces the totality of life from birth till death. Everything about the Christian life is determined by baptism. It is not something incidental. It's not a ritual that we do at one time and then it has absolutely no effect for as long as we live.
Finally, then, with only about a minute here, are you saying that in that water of baptism, Jesus, in his saving work, is present? Indeed, the entire Godhead of the Trinity is present, saving that sinner. With only about a minute here, Dr. Scare.
Yes, and that is the Father is there as the Creator. The Son is there redeeming the fallen creation, and the Spirit is there creating faith in the person who is being baptized. Now, the Spirit can create faith before the baptism, during the baptism, or after the baptism. But in baptism, the Spirit is speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ to that individual. And it would not be inappropriate that in the presence of the Holy Trinity, that all who would be present would be genuflecting or kneeling before the baptismal font.
Dr. David Scare is chairman and professor of systematic theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the book In the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series titled Baptism, and he's also written an article in the recent For the Life of the World magazine titled Baptism is Not Simple Water Only. Dr. Scare, thanks for being our guest.
And it was a pleasure, and I wish you the best.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking with Elliot Miller of the Christian Research Journal. There's a San Diego judge who had a case brought before him, an objection brought by, I think, a set of two parents of elementary school kids. The objection was that yoga was being taught to the kids in elementary school and that yoga is intrinsically religious. Of course, the judge has said no. Yoga is mere exercise. Well, it does have religious roots and connotations. It is, in this case, mere exercise. Well, based on that, let's talk about the worldview of yoga. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.